investing, outsourcing, and growing. Often when we hear about these big, huge businesses and companies and their ability to scale fast and grow teams, we quite often forget that usually the founder, the human being, is an individual who has their own limiting beliefs, worries, and concerns. That relinquishing control will come, but you need to move past those. To understand that there are people out there, the right people are out there, who can help you take on some of this workload so that you're freed up to do the things that matter most. Hello and welcome back to the Remote Coach Podcast with your host, as always, Ollie Carson. And today we've got yet another solo episode here in the home office in the UK. And we're going to be looking at something that I've actually struggled with myself over the last few years, and something that I've had to really work on personally as an individual who is growing a coaching business. And something that I think that the listeners, you guys listening to this right now, will be able to take lessons from and grow at a faster speed than I was able to back in my online coaching days. And we're going to be looking at investing, outsourcing, and growing. Because, you know, quite often when we hear about these big, huge businesses and companies and their ability to scale fast and grow teams, you know, we quite often forget that usually the founder, the human being, is an individual who has their own limiting beliefs, worries, and concerns. And you as a coach listening to this right now will have those limiting beliefs, worries, and concerns when it comes to growing a team and delegating tasks and outsourcing things, because we're scared. We're scared to relinquish control. You know, there's worries and concerns that come with those things. So we're going to address them head on in this episode today, and hopefully it will give you some of the insights and the learnings for you to be able to move past, get out of your own way, and start to scale your coaching business to the dizzy heights that you once dreamed of. So when you start with nothing, you know, and in your coaching business, you have to wear lots of hats. You've probably heard that saying before, but you're wearing the marketing cap, you're wearing the sales cap, you're wearing the delivery cap. You're editing posts on Canva, you know, you're learning how to deliver an exceptional service online, you're setting systems up, you're doing all of these things from scratch. And so you almost build a relationship with your own ability to wear all of these caps. It becomes an identity. It almost becomes a badge of honor in some instances. You know, I speak to coaches and business owners who are very proud of the fact that they, you know, can do it all themselves. They can do the social media posts, the graphic design, the video editing, and all of these different things. And whilst there's merit in learning those things, and in the early stages, you have to do those things. You know, it's out of necessity because you don't have the resources or the capital to be able to delegate it to somebody else and pay somebody else to do it. So whilst you have to do those things in the early stages, it becomes part of our identity. You know, we wear it as a badge of honor. Your ability to do all of these different things in your coaching business becomes bragging rights almost. And if we hold on to that identity for longer than we should, and we don't start relinquishing control and outsourcing these things to other professionals, we are seriously going to limit our ability to scale and grow the coaching business. So you, the founder, ultimately become the bottleneck. You can only do what you can do. There are only so many hours in the day. You only have so much energy. You only have so much passion, drive, and determination to continue scaling and growing your coaching business without having to, you know, hand things off to other people so that you can focus on the things that matter. So if you are going to be the bottleneck as the founder, you need to be able to identify early on, well, where could I potentially let certain things go that don't require my genius? And I'll refer back to requiring your genius quite a lot throughout this episode. And when I'm talking about your genius, what I mean is, you know, those things in the day-to-day operations of your coaching business that simply require you, you as the founder. So whether that's communicating with clients, whether that's showing up on social media and producing content, building your personal brand, that requires you. Nobody else can do that stuff, okay? There are other things, however, that happen in the day-to-day operations of your business that can be outsourced to other professionals. But here's the thing. Your mind will stop you first. Mindset is always the biggest issue when it comes to growing a team, bringing on staff members, outsourcing, delegating. Okay, and I'm going to give you some of my own personal anecdotes as to how my own limiting beliefs and my own mindset has hampered my growth in the past and how I work through those things. So quite often it's things like, what if they mess it up? What if they can't do it as good as me? My clients are paying for me, not somebody else. These are limiting beliefs that I personally faced that stopped me from bringing on team members, outsourcing things, so on and so forth. And actually, really interestingly, one of my first hires in my online coaching business, my fitness business, was another coach who was a ghost coach. And I was kind of let down. I kind of got burnt a little bit. I was paying the guy very handsomely. I was supposed to be a friend. And things went a little bit sour. It's a completely different story. I'm not going to go into the details. But that left a really sour taste in my mouth. And it left me feeling like, you know, that I had almost realized all of my biggest worries, fears, and concerns about bringing on team members because this one individual had let me down. And that really set me back because I had now confirmed my own biases. I had now reiterated the fact to myself that hiring team members is not a good idea. And that absolutely wasn't the case. It was just the wrong individual for the job. It was the wrong circumstances. There were things on my end, absolutely, that I could have done better because I was young and naive and didn't go about things correctly. So this whole concoction of situations and scenarios ended up in a bad working relationship with somebody. However, usually when we face those limiting beliefs around nobody else can do it as good as me, what if they mess it up, you know, my clients are paying for my time, not somebody else's, usually those things aren't warranted. And the sooner we can move past them, the sooner we can bring the right people into your business who can free up your time and energy to focus on the things that really matter, i.e. coaching your clients and communicating with clients and producing content. So here's the reality. There are not only people who are as good as you, but there are people who are better than you, infinitely better than you, at doing some of the day-to-day operations in your business that you have just romanticized somehow to believe that only you can do those things. Okay, so you really need to move past this notion that somebody else can't do it as good as you, because realistically, a lot of people can do it a lot better than you. Okay, so get out of your own way with that limiting belief. So where do you start with scaling a team? And this is going to sound like I'm selling you something here, but I absolutely am not. But I honestly, genuinely believe, and I've had many mentors, I've spent well over six figures on mentorships in the past. But I genuinely believe that your first hire and investment should be a mentor. Beyond obviously educating yourself as a coach and making sure that you're good at what you do, your first hire as a team should be into a mentor. And the reason that I say that is that a mentor will really not only pay dividends in terms of the investment, you will make your money back and some. Any mentor worth their salt will pay off their own investment or will make sure that you make back your investment in a very short amount of time. But not only will you make your money back, but you will be equipped with the skills and the lessons and the learnings that will help you to develop and grow for the rest of your life. So it's a one-time investment that will serve you forever. You know, a lot of people think that the mentorship that you're investing in or the mentor that you're investing in, you know, you only get use of that thing or that person for the time that you're doing it. The reality couldn't be further from the truth, because the skills, the qualities, the attributes, the confidence that you pick up throughout that journey, however long that journey is, will honestly stay with you forever. I've worked with several mentors, some of the biggest names in the industry, both in the fitness industry and in the wider coaching industry. And I have taken something from all of them, and I often refer back to different things from each of them. So it will serve you forever. That is the number one investment that I would make, the first investment that I would make. The second one that I would make is into outsourcing administrative tasks. So having like a really good virtual assistant or personal assistant is a great place to start. And what this really does is, yes, it frees up lots of your time because they'll be doing like your emails, you know, any administrative tasks that you have around the business, like bookkeeping and all of those different things that take our time and energy that don't require our genius, it will free up that time. But also what it will do is it will be a nice stepping stone into relinquishing control. If I chucked you as a coach, as an online fitness coach right now, into the deep end and said, I want you to relinquish all of your coaching, your check-ins, your communication with clients to another coach, that would be very, very difficult for you to do. Because rightly so, you'd have worries about their ability to do the job as well as you. You'd have worries about clients being happy with that as a service. And so it would be a very big ask for me to say, go and delegate all of that stuff. But if I ask you to delegate and relinquish control with administrative tasks in your business, emails, bookkeeping, replying to inquiries, whatever it might be, you will do that rather willingly, and you will start to build up trust, and you will start to build up an element of secureness with relinquishing control, which will serve you well down the line. Okay, so rather than jumping straight in the deep end and handing off the really big important tasks in your operations, hand off some of the smaller, more seemingly insignificant tasks to someone like a virtual assistant or a personal assistant, and you will start to build that feeling of trust. Okay. So the main points that I want you to take from this episode, and this has been a really short and sharp episode, but the main points I want you to take is, number one, if you try and wear all of the caps all of the time, even beyond your point of needing to. So in the early stages of your business, yes, you need to do those things. You're not making enough money to be able to go hiring professionals, graphic designers, video editors, assistants, so on and so forth. In the early stages, you need to do that. But beyond the early stages, if you are still wearing all of the caps, you, the founder, the business owner, will be the bottleneck in the growth of your business, okay? You will not have the time and energy to grow at the speed that you would like to grow, okay? You have to understand that. The second point I want you to note is that relinquishing control will come with limiting beliefs, worries, fears, and concerns, but you need to move past those, okay? You need to understand that there are people out there, the right people are out there who can help you take on some of this workload so that you're freed up to do the things that matter most. Okay, so please recognize that. Do your due diligence. Okay, not everybody is suitable for every role. Okay, make sure that if you're going to work with a professional, if you're going to hire a team member, if you're going to bring on another coach, if you're going to bring on an assistant, you're going to work with a graphic design company, a video editor, whatever it might be, do your due diligence. Speak to previous clients, look at their work. You know, speak to current clients, get an insight as to what it might be like working with that individual, and get an unbiased insight is the most important point there. Okay. Don't just dive head first without doing your due diligence, because it can come back to bite you, as it has done me in the past. And then finally, what I would say is start small and then grow from there. So start with things like administrative tasks, offloading things that, you know, if it went savagely wrong, if, you know, they were an absolute idiot for whatever reason and they couldn't do their job to the standard that they promised they could, well, then it's just things like replying to emails and doing your books and all the rest of it. Okay. It's not going to completely disrupt and destroy your business and your reputation. Okay. So start small, build trust and confidence in yourself, in your ability to grow a team and to relinquish control, and then move on to bigger and more profound projects like bringing in a coach, you know, trusting somebody else with being a face in your business. You can move on to those things over time. Hopefully this episode has been useful for those of you coaches who are kind of a little bit stuck feeling the day-to-day burnout of running every operation in your business. I urge you to go and consider delegating, hiring, and outsourcing. And I will speak to you on the next episode. Speak soon, coach.